Well, if you've been here with us over the last several weeks, you know that we've been on this journey of anticipating Christmas. And today, it's all about the gift. I found some interesting letters to Santa Claus. Let me share a couple with you. One youngster said, "Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot this year. Here's my list. I would like an Etch-a-Sketch animator. I would like two packs of number two pencils. I would like Crayola fat markers, and I would like an 80-inch HD television." Said, "Well, you can drop the pencils. I don't want to appear selfish." Or how about this one? Christmas is so often associated with waiting. One little girl said, "Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been very good this year." Another little guy said, "Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time, but sometimes I'm wild." Or, "Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you, but if you're real hungry, just use our phone and order a pizza to go." Kids have a hard time waiting on Christmas, don't they? Yes. I have an amen from the front row here this morning. Christmas is so often associated with waiting. And we've been talking about the anticipation of Christmas. Because finally, when Christmas morning comes, what happens? We jump out of bed, we run to the tree, we look for the box with our name on it, and we're so anxious about what we might have gotten. So let me ask you this beautiful Christmas morning, what are you waiting for this Christmas? What are you longing for this Christmas? What are you expecting to receive this Christmas? Are you looking forward to something special this Christmas? Because if you are, you're not alone. You're not only joined by all of us in this room, you're also joined by one of the most beautiful sections of Scripture that talks about Christmas. You know, most often when we talk about Christmas, we go to Luke chapter 2, and we read that beautiful story there about Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and all these things. But then after the Christmas story is told, we see these two people. We see Anna and we see Simeon. And they have something very beautiful in common with us. Because you see, they're not quite aware of what's happened in Bethlehem. But there's something going on in their heart that they're really looking forward to. And here's the thing, folks. Most of the people around the Christmas story are like these two. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you here in just a few minutes. But when we read about Anna and we read about Simeon, one of the words or one of the phrases that Luke uses in the original language really talks about this idea of waiting, this idea of anticipation, this idea of just so excited about what they know is coming, much like how we are today in this holiday season. You know, most of us had something that we really are looking forward to, or we're longing and we're just anticipating. Who took the hint? And who's going to make it come true? Here, let me show you. Luke chapter 2, after Mary and Joseph and the angels, we read about Simeon in verse 25, and it says that there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting. It says, if you read it, and I can give you the rest of it, it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, it goes back to that time in the history of the Israelites, of the Hebrew people, when they were longing for God to intervene. I loved what Matt said when he was introducing the song Emmanuel to us. Because that's exactly what was going on here in the life of the people of Israel. They were longing for something. And here was Simeon who had heard from God, and he knew that God was going to come through again. It's later on in verse 36 that we read about Anna. It says, there was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. She was waiting. Matter of fact, I think it's really interesting, some of the language says she was very old. You know, when you love, you know, what do you think about so-and-so? Oh, he's very old, you know. But that's the description of her here. She was very old. She lived with her husband. Look at this. She was married 7 years, and then she became a widow. And now she was 84. And during that time, she never left the temple. Isn't that amazing? Remember the time some years ago when we signed up for segments of people to come to the church and pray, and we were wanting to fill up an entire day of 15 or 30 minute slots, and people could come here and pray for the gospel message to go out in our community. Here's the thing, as I thought about this, I thought, you know what? If they did that at her church, she could sign up for every slot. Because she was always there. And what was on her mind while she was there? She worshiped night and day. She fasted. She prayed. And then it came time for Mary and Joseph to bring Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And all of a sudden, God spoke to her in her spirit and let her know that the moment that she was waiting for had arrived. And look, she gave thanks and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. The beauty of these two folks was that they were waiting and that they knew what they were waiting for. Think about this. Let me just share just real briefly just a couple of things. One, they were waiting for comfort. Simeon, we're introduced to him there. I read it to you in Luke chapter 2. A man named Simeon, righteous, devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Simeon was righteous before people, and he was devout in his relationship with God. But here's the thing. Things weren't going very well for his nation. They hadn't heard from God in quite a long time, many years. They were under Roman rule. They had lost their political independence. And they lived in fear of the government that ruled over them. And verse 26 shows us that Simeon had good reason for his hope. It says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, listen to this, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't it be marvelous if God's angels, if Jesus would appear to us and say, you know what, I've got great news for you. You will not die until I come again. How would that change the way you live? I mean, wouldn't it make you expectant, you know, for you to know that in your lifetime, God was going to do the very thing, the biggest thing that he had promised. That was what was going on here in Simeon's life. And here's the thing. It brought him comfort because he knew that God's voice would not always be silent. He knew that they would not always be oppressed. And he knew that in his lifetime, before he breathed his last, that God was going to do what he promised to do. Strikes me that we all need comfort. I mean, it's a universal need. We all struggle with loneliness, emptiness, insecurity, and desperation. In fact, did you know that the Christmas season is one of the major crisis times of the year for depression and even suicide? And here we have the Holy Spirit prompting Simeon to go into the temple courts, and be encouraged because God was going to bring his comfort. Verse 28 of Luke 2 says that Simeon reached down and took Jesus out of Mary's arms. And if you read that part of the text here, it says that he took Jesus out of Mary's arms and he began to praise God. I mean, parents, how would you feel if some old man came up to you as you were leaving the hospital after you had given birth and he said, here, I gotta hold that baby for just a moment. But that baby brought Simeon comfort. Here, let me mention something about Anna, because for Anna, she was waiting for salvation and forgiveness. She was waiting for God to redeem. Matter of fact, that's the word that she uses in verse 38. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Man, that word redemption is related to the idea of captivity, of being in chains, of being in bondage. You know, the Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from the Egyptian, from Egypt as slaves, stood in Anna's day as that ultimate moment of God's redemption and of the symbol of God's power to release his captives. But she knew that there was another redemption to come. And here's the thing, as you think about, you know, comfort and forgiveness, what comes to my mind is that Jesus always provides exactly what we need. It's really unusual at Christmas that we highlight the birth of a baby and what that baby is able to do. Because at the very nature, a baby is dependent totally, completely on someone else to care for them. But in God's providence, he teaches us through the birth of this baby, because it was no ordinary baby. It was God himself. I mean, can any of us identify with Simeon tonight? Hurting, lonely, empty, afraid, maxed out. Do you need comfort? Can any of us identify with Anna this morning? Plagued with guilt because of something you've done or some way that you're living? Do you feel like you're trapped in a pattern of sin and bondage and you can't break it? Well, here's the thing, and I just want to briefly highlight on these. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Because you know what? When you think about this, we need to understand what we need to do to experience it. What are the action steps that we need to take to understand that comfort has come, that forgiveness has been given, redemption is here, the consolation is here of God. And here's the things. Number one, I want to encourage you to become a marveler. I'm not even sure if that's a word, okay? But I want you to marvel. I mean, when I read the story of Anna and Simeon, I think that that's what stands out more than anything else to me. Here you have these old people who had not lost their sense and their ability to marvel at what God had promised and what God was able to do. So just marvel at what God is doing in your life. I mean, if you remember Joseph and Mary, they tried to process everything that was happening to them, what God had said, what God had done. And all they could do was be filled with wonder and astonishment and, yes, even surprise. You see, that's what God wants us to do at Christmas. Not to be caught up in the busyness and the stress of the season, running around because of the holidays, taking time to make Christmas a holy day. Just marvel at this beautiful gift that God has given. Here's an idea that might help. Pick one of the Christmas characters and put yourself in their sandals. And just try to think, imagine what it must have been like to witness the Christmas story firsthand. Pick one: Mary, Joseph, shepherds, Simeon, Anna, wise men. It really doesn't matter. And then just walk in their steps and marvel at what God has done. And then become a mover. Verse 27 says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. Both Simeon and Anna were movers. When the Holy Spirit prompted, they moved. They didn't sit still. You know, I could share with you 1,000 stories about that this Christmas. There's been a number of people that have told me how God spoke to them and told them to pick a family. There was a number of people at First Church said to us, said, you know, Pastor, you know, some said to Connie, Arlene, Claire, you know, give me a family and let me know what they need. And I wanna bless, our family wants to bless them. We had a number of people that did that. You know who those people are? They're movers. Because an awful lot of us, we hear things like that. God encourages us to do things like that. And it's really easy just to stay where we are. Mary was ready to move when the angel said that she was going to be with child. And she said to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said." Joseph demonstrated that he was a mover when he woke up from his dream and did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. The shepherds were movers as well when they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And as we learn every Christmas, the wise men saw the star and moved out of their comfort zone to find that newborn king. Be a mover. And then finally, be a messenger. Become a messenger. You know, as we become marvelers, we can help, but when we become movers, that's when God takes us to where we can make a difference. But then we have to finalize this. In verse 38, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Do you have family, friends who've been caught up in the preparations of Christmas? You know, look at it this way. Maybe their anticipation and longings really represent an inner search for comfort and forgiveness and those things that only the Messiah can provide. And maybe God is sending you to be the messenger to bring this beautiful story home to them. You know, it's amazing to me, every Christmas I learn this over and over again, how when we really understand what the meaning of Christmas is, God can do so many great things. He can do amazing things. He can provide miracles when we marvel and when we move and when we become a messenger. You know, I want to tell you a true story. And I think it'll illustrate all three of these things in a mighty way to you. Watch this. This is incredible. Truce.
As a boy, Christmas time always meant visiting my grandparents in London. Grandmother loved to bake and spoil us with presents and cakes. After she died, it wasn't the same. Grandfather had never been one to say much, and he became even more quiet once he was bedridden. Alone in his room with him one Christmas Eve, neither of us knew what to say. To break the silence, I asked about an old photo on his shelf. I knew he had fought in World War I, though he rarely spoke of it. But something unlocked in him that night, and he told me this story. It was all supposed to be over by Christmas. Of course, it didn't happen that way. We spent every day and night in the trenches, and all the time, the enemy, 50 yards away, waiting to shoot us. It felt like nothing could ever end. That Christmas Eve was about the lowest I'd ever felt. We got packages from home. Your grandmother sent me a picture of herself, but it just made me miss her more. Late that night, though, something happened. I heard singing. I grabbed my rifle and poked my head up just enough to see the lights. Lights all along the German trench. The Germans were singing Christmas songs and lighting candles. I don't know what drew him, but one German soldier climbed out of his trench and began to walk across no man's land. It was the bravest thing I've ever seen. Soon, I heard some of our men singing along with the Germans, and a few of the fellows started to climb out as well. Before long, most of us were out there. We shook hands with them, shook hands with the very Germans we'd been trying to kill. I guess we all wanted Christmas more than war that night. We spent all of Christmas Day right out in the open with them. We made small talk, told jokes, traded little gifts with each other, and some of us held services, reading the Christmas story back and forth in English and German, and praying together on Christmas morning. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't been there myself. Grandfather stopped talking. Finally, I asked him why that didn't end the war. How could they go back to shooting at each other after that? Most of us wanted it to be over, of course. We wanted to go home. But we learned that year that Christmas isn't what brings peace. Christmas is a promise that Jesus will bring peace to all who believe, to the whole world, when the time is right. Christmas is the promise that one day we'll go home. I can't wait to shake hands with some of those German lads again.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, the story of Christmas is so familiar, but yet sometimes beautiful nuggets of truth slip through anew. And God, I guess our choice is that we can be in the wars of this world, or we can celebrate Christmas in such a way that we have peace in our heart and love to share. Father, may what was going on in the lives and hearts of these two prophets of old go on in our lives today. And because of it, Lord, I pray that we will seek you and allow the miracle of Christmas to happen over and over and over again in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.